Isaiah chapter 53, let's begin from there today. I'm going to read a large portion of that. Last time I began to speak about the cross of Christ, and the more I thought about it or meditated about it, I realized that actually, like Paul said, is the most important thing in Christianity. And that's one thing that must be central in our gospels if we are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember I said something last time that the Bible says, Paul was speaking, he said the cross of Christ is foolishness to the Gentile, to the Jews. It's total, and to everybody who doesn't believe anyway, Jew or Gentile. He said it's foolishness. Maybe we should just start from there to help us, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's just start with that. Then we'll go to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that's what we have been reading. Let me start from verse 18. He said, for the word of the cross, now this was after he, of course, was building up to something, up from something that I didn't go around baptizing, but I was sent to go and preach the gospel. Not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ will not be made void. That is, what must be prominent is the cross of Christ. He said, not in cleverness of speech. If you make too much sense as a preacher of the gospel, you are not preaching the true gospel. The truth is that the pure gospel does not make sense. It doesn't make sense. He said, verse 18, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved by it, that is, if it's working in our lives, we will discover that it is the power of God. All right, he now said, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Now, let's just jump to verse 21. He said, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its own wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached, or the foolishness of preaching, to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles it's foolishness. But for those, to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ who we are preaching is the power of God and the wisdom of God. That is, anything that God wants to do, the method by which he does it is through Christ. He now said, the point, if you go back to that verse 22, he said, for indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. And like I said last time, modern man searches for scientific evidence. So I said that the stumbling block of modern man is science. It is science. Everything has a scientific basis. That is, like now, somebody is sick. Why is he sick? It is because the genes. Now, they've gone so much into genetics that every, and if you see, when you are reading, you know, when you are reading common things, if you don't know what's going on, even though you may deceive yourself thinking you know what's going on, for example, maybe you have a degree in medicine, and you read a publication, I tell you that the genes, you think, because you know basic genetics, you think they know what they are saying. The fact is, this is not supposed to be a joke. The fact is that more than half of what they say is pure speculation and guesswork. But the reading public doesn't understand that. That's what it is. People don't realize it. The reading public does not understand it. One of the things you start doing, if you just to help you understand what I'm saying, start reading BBC News. I read that a lot. It's on my phone. And in the I think science or medicine or health section, you see, they always tell you, they report findings on those who are likely to get this disease, who are likely to do well. You know, when you read it, you actually think that they've done a thorough research, and in that research, they have found out that these particular genes make you do this. What you will not realize is that they pulled maybe about 100,000 people that were studied, and the statistics, that's how people go and do degrees in statistics. To pull out inferences from that thing is so hard. One statistician will go inside there, say, if you do like this, you will fall to this side. Another statistician will go into the same data, make a directly opposite interpretation. It's the one you are reading. I don't know whether you get my point. That is the one that persuades you. They have all kinds of studies. When you go deep inside, you find out that they don't know what they are doing. Because the knowledge of God, the Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of what? Knowledge. Now, okay, it's also the beginning of wisdom, but somewhere else it says the beginning of what? Knowledge. That is, Elihu said, I will obtain my wisdom from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. So when you start science, I don't know whether I get my point, with an understanding, with a presupposition that God does not exist, you can never make sense out of what they are saying. It's like you want to tune a car, believing nobody made it. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. You can't. You just be dabbling around. They give you a computer, and you believe that nobody made it. The problem with when you say nobody made something is the inference is that it does not have a purpose. And if you don't understand the purpose of something, you are not able to tune it towards its purpose. I don't know whether you get what I'm explaining. If I just drop something, you have never seen an aeroplane in your life. You didn't know it was possible for human beings to fly. You did not know. You had no idea that human beings could get into a machine and take off. But you are very learned from wherever, maybe you came from Mars, where people don't go, you know, all they do is use submarines and stuff like that. Then you now get down to the earth. You now see a Boeing 747 lying down there. They say it's not working. And they tell you that there were no human beings on the earth. This Boeing 747 just appeared out of nothing. We just came here and saw it. They now tell you, repair it. Now, please. How will you repair it? What is it supposed to be doing that it is not doing? I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to explain. Because you told yourself nobody made it. You told yourself there's nothing, there's no purpose. So you're not trying to adapt to your own purpose. You will remove the engine and put a submarine engine. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to say. You will keep on modifying it. You will keep on, and then you'll be releasing publications on the advancements you have made. Meanwhile, the man who, if he had bothered to research, if he had bothered to go into the history books of the people that lived on the earth, and somebody has shown you that this was made by some people so that human beings will fly in them, you will have probably gone in, found that the problem you have is that you could not locate the ignition, and the tires were bad. So you will have just gone in, located the ignition. I don't know, how do planes start? Do they have key like our vehicles? They use button. Okay, our vehicles these days, that's what we use also anyway. And then you'll have changed the tires. And having done that, you'll have gone to train a pilot. You get what I'm saying? And then one day you will have started flying. Why? Because you just recognized that somebody made this thing, he must have made it for a reason. When I read science, because of my profession, anytime I'm teaching medical students, I always say something. And I mean it, though they laugh when I say it. I say, the good Lord in his infinite mercies and everlasting kindness and eternal wisdom. I read that eternal wisdom this year. Before I used to say infinite mercies and everlasting kindness. Now this year I say eternal wisdom. Now I'm explaining a principle. I know I've been saying this again and again. I want Christians that listen to me, forget all this lie they lie to you when you are reading your books. Ignore it. The scriptures are very practical. The word of God is real. Listen, if you read the scriptures, you will decode what's going wrong in science. Face your science with the knowledge that God created. Listen, evolution is a joke. The knowledge of life as of today makes evolution impossible. Now, let me explain and say. Maybe if we go to Mars and learn another different kind of physics and chemistry and biology. But what we understand as of today, evolution is impossible. Life could not have come forth spontaneously. Yet, men, now I've said all of this to bring out an issue. That is what modern man is hanging his life on. No wonder they have not found a cure for cancer. No wonder men, we spend millions, hundreds of millions, looking for treatment for HIV without just acknowledging that is, they will never accept it. That HIV is a problem of immorality. Nobody says it. In the scientific world, they will never say it. We find the GP120 that's infecting the CD4 positive lymphocytes. Look, I teach medical students this, I know it's true. We will find everything. But let us just tell ourselves that we can cure this disease and disappear it entirely in one generation. If we just say, now this money we are spending, we will go to schools and tell all young people, abstinence is possible. They will never do it. Big men, what is the name of this kid from England? What is his name? Elton John. Elton John is married to Mr. Smith or whatever his boyfriend's name is. Yet he will sit openly and say that abstinence does not work. I know for you it did not work because they told you from childhood it does not work. And they told you that God is a joker and all God is looking for is idolatry. And listen, just as a matter of fact, what am I preaching this evening? Let me get back to my message. Listen, the major problem, let me tell you, the only difference between God and the devil is what they permit. See all this fight of there's no God, there's no God. All this fight of there's no God, there's no God. There will have been God if he would just say, don't worry. If you want your neighbor's wife, collect. If God had just come and said, don't worry, how many women do you want? Seven. Take them, then by next weekend, change them again. It's how you feel. And if you marry your husband for 2 years, you don't like him again, and you like your friend's husband, negotiate and collect. If God would just say that, you know he will suddenly exist. Okay. The problem right now is that he won't say that. So for us to be able to do it, we have to say he's not there. That's all. Why? Because they said there is no God, nothing makes sense anymore. So when they are studying science, that's where I started from. Science is totally lost. Yet, that's where I'm going to. Yet, they want the gospel to make sense. And they want the gospel to make sense. How can it make sense? When the sense you are following is senseless. That's the problem. Modern man has made a god out of science. That is why the cross is even more foolish than ever before. It was foolish before when men even worshipped one god or the other. Now it's even more foolish than ever before. You now come and tell scientists that the reason why a disease is run in a family is because of a curse. They won't believe it. Why? Because how did that alter the genes? Because they have seen the genes. They think. And I dare to say, that's which is where the problem is. The church today, we don't know enough and don't preach enough about the cross of Christ. And that is why I am happy the Holy Spirit led me into this again. We have been so overwhelmed. Like one of our brothers said during the week, he said, too much world. That the problem with the church currently is too much world. And I dare to say, even the health problem in the church today is too much worldly sense. Sound funny? It's one of the reasons, you know, I like exercise. I've been carrying weights since the days of Oliver Orok and Iron Barbas. That's 1984. Los Angeles, 84. That was when I saw, of course, people were running. I didn't know what was pursuing them. They were playing football. I don't know why they are chasing the rubber ball. But when I saw the men carry weights, my soul went there. You get what I'm saying? So we'll go behind the house, and my mother will be chasing us. We'll put blocks, no blocks, just building blocks, and put pipe in between. As I'm telling you, 13, 14-year-old boys carrying it up. When my mother is coming, we'll disappear. No matter what she said, we'll have to carry the blocks. Why? Because we watched Oliver Orok and Iron Barbasi. Those are their names. One was Oliver Orok. And you can go and Google them up. I wonder where those men are now. That's just by the way. Why did I go into that? I've always liked exercise. I like it. One of the reasons why I don't jog anymore. Now, you get my point. I'm not saying it's bad, though. In fact, I'm just... One major reason is that I've not been able to... let's just get small. I find it very funny to be running around when, like... You know, I feel so jobless when I'm driving around Opera Square. And I see all the men walking around and say, "Na no get Saturday every morning." Say, "Na no get work. Are you on leave? I don't know business. What is thinking?" So for me, is that if I want to go jogging, it has to be by 5:30. I used to do it. Leave my house 5:30 in the morning. You know, go walk, run, do everything, then get back home, It's just about 45 minutes. And it's very good for me, and I like it. And I intend to start something like that, okay? But one of the reasons why I slackened, I got angry, was I realized that even Christians have begun to worship that thing. They actually think the key to long life is you jog. If a Christian dies now, they say, he has not been jogging. That's what they say. They don't say he sinned against God. I've warned him the way he refused to jog. When he's eating, just be eating anything. You know, he didn't jog. That's why a Christian died. Yes, he was not jogging. Where did you see the Bible says that? Thou shalt jog the Lord thy God. Have you ever seen it? Honor thy jogging in the morning and the evening, that it might be well with you, and that you might live long. Have you read that before in your Bible? Honor thy jogging in the morning and in the evening, that it might be well with you, and you might live long in the land that the Lord thy God is sending you to go and possess. He never said it. He said, honor your father and your mother. Today or yesterday, the second oldest woman in the world, the second oldest person in the world, is a woman, celebrated her 115th birthday. She can still walk around with a cane, you know. He said, how was the secret? He said, it is the Lord's doing. I said, amen. This woman is in the spirit. He said, it's the Lord. She's a black American woman. The oldest person is in Japan, 116. This is a woman in the U.S. How did you manage? She said, it is God. And that's how I managed it. Did the woman jog? No, I don't know. Nobody knew. By the time she was aging, nobody had gone crazy over jogging yet. She's 115. She became 115 yesterday. And when I read that, I said, this is what the Bible is saying. That this age is supposed to be normal. And let me say this one quickly. That's actually where I'm going today. If we all focus on the cross of Christ, that age will be normal. It will be normal. And then they say, where are you going? Great-grandpa, where are you going? He said, oh, you know, my friend is celebrating his birthday today. How old is he? He's 106. Are you driving or your driver is taking you? I think I'll drive. Been a while since I drove last. And the person talking is 107 or 102. And he's honing and telling his wife to hurry, and she's 99. Sarah, come, hurry, hurry, hurry. With these people, the meet we finish. And somebody now says, please, no, grandpa, let me drive. And who is that? That is a great-great-grandson. You understand what I'm saying? That's when they say, grandpa, let me drive. That will be his great-great-grandson. He said, 30-something-year-old man. I said, okay, all right. I drop you guys, I'll pick you up later. And it's normal. You get there. And they are telling stories of 80 years ago. He said, John, you were able to make it. How are you doing? You know, and they greet each other. Praise God. And you see them. And it will not make the news. That's the point. I mean, 115, now we are hearing worldwide. If we focus on this cross of Christ, know what happened? You hear somebody die, say, how old? It was 85. And they'll say, what happened? 85? Jesus. I always told that guy, his outlook towards life was not good. The dishonesty in his mouth was too much. How can a Christian still be lying at the age of 80? Last week, he was lying to me. And now, the Bible said that he will be judged accursed. That's what the Bible says. That he will be judged as accursed. How can he die at 85? But you know now, when we die at 85, say for a life well lived, using a pa at 85. Pa. What is pa at 85? It's called sin. That is why 85 is pa. Were it not for sin, how can 85 be pa? 85 would be somebody's boy. But because of iniquity, and that's what Moses said. Moses said, look at it. That you have put our sins in the light of your countenance so that we are not dying at the age of 70. And for the few who are strong amongst us, they make it to 80, then they die. And then we Christians took it and said, God promised 70 years. I don't know whether we read our Bibles in Greek that we did not learn. And you see, men, you know, the problem is that they don't read the scriptures by themselves. Somebody just quoted, God promised 70 years. God never, ever. The only promise God ever made about life, just two of them, One, with long life I will satisfy. Number two is the one I'm quoting, that in that day, the youth will die at the age of 100. And anyone that dies before the age of 100 will be judged accursed. God didn't say any other thing. I've read the Bible around a bit. There was no other place where he spoke about age as a blessed person, more than those two. But we say that he promised 70. He never did. Moses lamented that what is a problem, God? Which kind of judgment are you judging us? Can't even forgive us? Then look at it now. We are dying at the age of 70. 70! And if by the age of strength, by the reason of strength, we make it to 80. He said, God, this is bad. Back to what I'm saying. This is how Christians reason. What is the key to long life? Listen, I like to jog because, like I said to you before, I like to be able to run up the stairs and not feel tired. You understand? I like to carry, you know, I like when my children see me pull something, you know, there's these metal things I use in the house. And all of them are saying, that's okay, man, you know, I like it. It's for me, it's fun. I mean, Oliver Rock infected me since that time. I told you before, I had a picture of Dino Bravo on my wall in university. And I was a preacher. Normal preachers will have the picture of Jesus Christ. I had a picture of Dino Bravo. So it's good. There's nothing wrong with it. But I have realized it's not the key to long life. What is long life? How does it come? It's something God satisfies you with. It's God that looks at you and says, with long life, I will do what? Satisfy you. So I think we should all go jogging. But don't think that will solve your health problems. It will not. If you want to solve your health problems, it's simple. Kneel down one corner in your house and say, Lord, my heart has been behaving funny. That is not in accordance with your will. And we're going to read this in a moment. Now I said we should go to Isaiah chapter 53. First, I'm reviewing this thing again. Wait in a moment. That this is what the word says. And I claim that thing as mine in the name of Jesus. Therefore, Lord, let the power, the healing power in the blood of Jesus, let it touch my heart now. I receive it in Jesus' name. And then you focus on that constantly. That is what heals heart diseases. Too much world. A lot of, you know, the problem with world is that a lot of times it's good. In quote now. Did you hear what I said? Good. It feels good. They tell you, take this medicine, and it's been working. I don't know where I get my point. It's been working. I've been taking the medicine. It's been working. So next time the world says, don't eat again. You know the medicine they gave you before worked. So they say, no, don't eat another medicine. Before you know what's happening, they've taken over your life. So that when God talks, you say, God, maybe you should see the doctor. I don't know what I say. God is talking to you. He said, God, okay. All right, I've heard what you said, though, but I'll tell the doctor. If the doctor disagrees, God, you should see him. That the God should see the doctor to agree on how to solve your problems. Why is it like that? It's simple. There's so much world in us, so that God's word is second. And that's because we have not, you know, it's not our primary interaction. Anyway, the Lord is good. Now, why did I go into all of this? We said that the Jew is looking for what? Wisdom. Science. The Greek search for wisdom. And modern man looks for what? Scientific evidence. But we preach Christ crucified. That's what we preach. Christ crucified. Paul said that, I don't want to say this with wisdom, so I don't make the cross of Christ of no effect. So I don't weaken the efficacy of the cross of Christ. The Lord is good. Now let's open to the book of Isaiah 53. Now what I want to do, before that I will continue talking about the cross of the Christian that he's supposed to carry. But when I was thinking about this and meditating about this, I said, no, I have not finished the cross of Christ himself yet. Before we begin to talk about the cross that the Christian carries as a follower of Christ Jesus. So I feel like I should talk more about that cross of Christ. Let us describe the cross of Christ Jesus. Don't ever forget, life is spiritual. What did I say? Life is not mechanical, it's not physical. Life is not mental. It's first and foremost spiritual. That is what happens in the realm of the spirit is what plays out eventually on the surface of the earth. Now I'm about to digress and I don't care. How many of you have prayed about Boko Haram before? Now during the week, my brother and I'll talk about this on Tuesday. I just want to give you a sneak preview, okay? During the week, my brother and I were talking about praying, you know, all this violence. You know, Boko Haram has now decided that they'll just be killing people on a daily basis in those states, you know, those villages. And yesterday, they killed 31 people, you know. It happens almost on a daily basis. And it set us thinking. I've been thinking for a while. You know, without talking to each other. So we're trying to raise, we're going to raise prayer chain. So I have different child groups. One of them is just my executive members of my alumni fellowship. So I said, guys, right, before we start this prayer chain and prayer rope and prayer whatever, what are we going to be praying? I just released a prayer. One of the reasons why I was a bit almost late was because I was working on a prayer point that I sent out to my brethren that's supposed to pray tomorrow. I wrote that in 3 pages. That's how I do our prayer meetings there. We do prayer meetings right, regularly. So we'll call one for tomorrow. And I realized by the time I was through with it, I had not said a word about praying against Boko Haram. Yeah. What's my reason? Because that day I was just thinking, I said to him, I said, please, what's that? I said, have you ever heard of the indignation of God? He said, what? I said, if God is angry, this is how he looks. So. Some people have never thought about it. I said, has it crossed your mind that maybe God is angry? I said, if God is angry, you stop. You are not supposed to be rebuking the weapon of his indignation. You start begging him for mercy. And you don't just beg God for mercy. You start repenting and confessing. Christians exalt the devil too much. The devil is not that powerful. Only the wrath of God is that powerful. The devil is not powerful. Christian Pentecost, that is, when we learn the word of faith, we misunderstood it. We exalted the devil to a level. Go and read your scriptures. He was never given that power. I digress into that by saying that what happens in the realm of the spirit is most important. Life is what? Spiritual. And this is what happens. What you find playing out outwardly is what's happened in the realm of the spirit. That's why I'm not looking at an issue. Okay? And why I brought up that issue of Boko Haram is that if people don't pray appropriately, the problem with Boko Haram we discovered through many ways, discussing with brethren and people just speaking out spontaneously, is that Nigerians have sinned. And I am persuaded part of their problem is this simple corruption in government. And God is angry. Yes. And until we tackle it, are you getting my point? And pray, and look, I don't even know how to pray against Boko Haram now. The amount of prayers I prayed against them is so plenty, it can wake Osama bin Laden up so as to kill him again. My current concern is how did we get there? What did we do to fertilize this nonsense and cause it to germinate? We have to stop that thing. And the second problem, the major one, is the churches are the major problems. They lie. The most corrupt people, spiritual barometer speaking now, are Christians. If an unbeliever chops money, he's an unbeliever. What do you expect him to chop? So God judges him little. He's an unbeliever. But when a Christian, any pastor, comes to church and takes the word of God and twists it because of money, he has stolen $10 billion in one service. Even though the offering are only 10,000 naira. But because he took the word of God and twisted it, the spiritual barometer is like an unbeliever stealing 10 billion naira that's supposed to revamp the health sector. Why? Because he's a priest of God, he's supposed to handle the word of God with truth. If I see any pastor now, he twists the word of God, all right, to raise money, and I'm there, I will call him. I say, are you married? If he says yes, I say, you love your wife, you love your children, stop this nonsense. That's all I'll tell him. I won't say more than that. Vex. Now, if anybody saw that, where I did, I will just gently, you know, there's a way you do it. You just do like this. I say, peace, they catch you. Now run, I won't run for months. Gone are the days when I will sit down and be enduring it. Because these are the things that fertilize Boko Haram. I don't get patient because now I've realized. You know, the funny. Let's talk on Tuesday. Let me leave that. We'll talk on Tuesday. The Lord is good. Why I went into this, I let you understand that spiritual things matter. No, not matter. That's what underlies what you see outwardly. So all the problems in society, they started in the realm of the spirit. And usually they backdate those things we have seen outwardly by years. So when men have been corrupting the word of God, which is what my main concern is, first of all, for the church of God, when they've been binding, I will talk about this binding thing on Tuesday. They've been binding and saying that Zamfara can never believe the gospel. That is, they don't know. That's what they've been saying. People have been taking the word of God and twisting it. The most corrupt, like I told you, spiritual barometer, Christians, pastors, they can lie. Thus says the Lord, when God does not say, is wickedness. Now, with all of these things, we set a horrible spiritual atmosphere that allows people like Shekau to thrive. People like him will have died from a road traffic accident. You never have known he existed. You will never have known that men like him existed. Why? Because the spiritual atmosphere wouldn't permit him to survive. He would have died accidentally, and you would never have found out. But when he thrives, when the whole of the Nigerian army can't find him, when bombs are exploding all over the place, then you should know that something is causing it to thrive. Are you getting my point? And I'm saying most of the people fighting Boko Haram, that's government people, they are part of the reason it is thriving. Forget if it's one that like it's thriving. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'll say the lying, the cheating, which is a lie, and the only people that can stop it is Christians. But they don't talk. Why? Tithe and offering, they complete. That is the problem. That is the reason why in Nigeria, evil just they thrive because the pastors, they love money too much. They love money too much. Let me say what I want to say. That's what kills Boko Haram. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness can never overcome it. The problem is that the light is not shining. You go to Abuja, go to government offices. It's the Christians that are the embarrassment. That's the embarrassment. Even Muslims, this was my problem. But if Alhaji does not chop money and carry women, now you go carry women. And everybody, so in this life, somebody must carry women. You understand my point? So it's not going to be me. It's not going to be you. So we have to give that assignment to the people that Muhammad said they can do it. You understand what I'm saying? For us, Jesus didn't say we can do it. So we won't do it. An unbeliever is stealing. Okay, wait. If an occultist does not steal, is it you that will steal? And in this life, somebody must steal. It's in the Bible. God made everything for a purpose. Even the thief, for his role in the deal of stealing. You know, I rearranged something small there. The problem is when they say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and the Lord is good. Amen. No, you know, it's collecting the bribe, put it in the pocket. We thank God. The paper will move. It will move. This paper has not moved because we are still praying about it. Okay, now it will move. Now he has dropped $1 million to support the prayer project. Amen. And he's a pastor. You know, he's a preacher. He's a Christian, sorry. And he goes to church Thanksgiving time. You work in a regular civil service office. You don't do business. You are dropping tithe of $1 million. Your pastor is not asking questions. He too is a thief. So in the back, I told the story once. One brother came. It was the one young man came, drove a next class to him. I got take. So he looked at the boy. Which work do you do? He said, we just came to sow a seed. Thank God for the seed. Which work do you do? The guy couldn't explain. He gave him the car keys. I said, boy, just drive you and your evil. Drive and come over my compound. Drive your wickedness out of here. That's why Boko Haram is thriving. It's not because of the Alhaji. How can Alhaji make Boko Haram thrive? It's you and me. It's our wickedness. And what am I saying? Why you have to take it serious? Is that if you think the thing will stop in Borno State, and then, Adamawa and Yobe, and it will stop, occasional bombing Abuja, and I think it will stop there. You think you are safe down here. Why you continue iniquity? They came to Jesus. They told him about the people upon whom the pool of Siloam fell, and the ones that Pilate mixed their blood with their sacrifice. He said, you think they are the worst of sinners? He said, listen, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. I think Southerners are too comfortable because they think the thing will stop over there. That's why I started by saying, don't think it's not going to stop there unless we do what is necessary to make it stop. So when I released the prayer points today, I said, God, what I'm asking for is you have to judge, I know. But let's rearrange the judgment. Henceforth, you will do Goshen separation. But he has to. If he doesn't do some of those things, he said, when thy judgments are upon the earth, then the inhabitants thereof, they learn righteousness. We added a prayer point. So all the churches that, you are protecting your members. That one. I came with the unction of Jeremiah. He said, you will uproot, overthrow. That one is very important. Yes. In Christianity, the reason why there's division between Hausa man, Igbo man, Yoruba man, Ijaw man, Shekiri man, all those divisions, is because the church is divided. So they are a manifestation of the division inside. That's what they are. You see pastors, actually it happened once. They were building a church somewhere. The man actually looked. He said, why are people spending so much money on a ministry that does not belong to our brother? Did you hear that? You're spending so much money on the ministry that does not belong to our brother. So that man said that Abosa is the work of God. He said, our brothers are also doing the work of God. The churches are very funny. They're talking with nonsense we talk. When you hear the tribal things that people say in church, it's pretty annoying. Pretty annoying. I thank God for the way he raised me so I can talk. When I was getting married, all of you have met my best man before. There's nobody more able than that. There's no English. There's no English in his name. It's Igbo Kwenu, has that taken anything from my life rather than added to it? No. My life just been a blessed person. I've just been blessed. That's what my younger brother wanted to marry. And he met Amarachi in my house. And he said, let's go and pay bride price. I drove all the way to Obo. They frazzled me one bit. You now enter inside church.